Hello, and this is Diane, and this is episode 22?
Or 2016-01.
There you go. Of this episode, or this conversation rocks. Oh my gosh, I can't even get the name right.
It's been so long.
It has been so long.
Now it's, hey, and this is Todd in LA.
And we decided we were going to do a retrospective, kind of looking back and updating our previous episodes, so...
Because there's nothing like doing a retrospective 2 to 3 weeks after the year started.
Well, you know, and it gives us a chance to say, go to hell 2015, right?
Right.
So there were some good things about 2015, but we're kind of happy to see some of it in the rear view, too.
Yeah. Best parts about 2015...
Getting the podcast going.
Getting the podcast going.
Getting more business for you.
Yeah, but then, well, anyway.
Yeah, well. And I have to say, getting another podcast going, or taking over another podcast, that was kind of nice. So
and now you're taking on a third one, right?
I am. I'm crazy. I agreed to do an X-Files retrospective, and then we're actually going to start out with the new... six-part series, that whole arc, and we'll see where it goes.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Now, is it going to be an ongoing series, or is this just supposed to be six episodes by themselves?
So it's not mine, it's somebody else's.
I meant the X-Files show.
It's not. It's just supposed to be six series. It's supposed to be basically, or six episodes, it's supposed to be Mulder and Scully coming back for a six-episode arc.
Okay.
Because, you know, there's been so much success with sci-fi and fantasy and horror that... You know, they can milk it, right?
One more time.
And I'm okay with that, man. I love the X-Files. They can milk it all they want.
I mean, Duchovny's been doing work ever since. What has...
Gillian Anderson.
I'm sorry. I had that wrong. But yeah, yes. What has Gillian been doing?
So she actually has a really cool series that is on Netflix. I've watched the first season. I'm partway into the second season. It's called The Fall.
Okay.
She plays a British detective who is chasing a serial killer, and it's actually quite good.
Oh, cool. Well, man, I mean, that's just everything right now, right? It's serial killing detective stories. I just finished the first season of Bosch on Amazon.
Oh, I'm partway through that, and I kind of lost track of it after the fire, so I need to go back and finish it. That was seriously good.
Yep, you know, LA-based, so it's awesome.
And you know, while we're on the subject of great TV, Jessica Jones, man.
Absolutely.
It was really good, and...
See, these are the high points of 2015.
There you go. And The Man in the High Castle. I don't know if you watched that or finished that, but I can't say enough about what a good series that is.
Now, who's got that one? Is that...
It's an Amazon Prime, and it's based on a...
I was looking for it. I haven't found it, so I'll have to look for it again.
So for our fans who don't know, for all 10 people who don't know, it's based on a Philip K. Dick novel, who is the same guy who wrote Blade Runner, the book that Blade Runner is based on, and it's really good.
So which one is it based on?
So The Man in the High Castle is the title of the book. Okay. Blade Runner is based on Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep?
Right, no, I knew, yeah, no. Sorry.
You know that, but I was sharing that information for the, you know, five people who might not know.
Yeah, like the eight people maybe in the world who have never seen Blade Runner and are not listening to our podcast.
There you go, exactly.
Okay, but yeah, Philip K. Dick, awesome.
Yeah, so, and it's a really good series, and I finished that, and it's... set up for season two. Oh, yep. God. And of course, while we're on it, not that everybody wants to hear a TV review, because really, if you want to hear good TV podcasts, I highly recommend checking out Southgate Media.
Right. Plug.
Which I plug it because the people there are good people, but also because they host Biters, which is the Walking Dead podcast that I'm on.
Right, and we hope someday that Southgate Media will take us on.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. I think we might be a little too sweary for them. But
is that the only problem?
I don't think that's the only problem. I don't know. I got to talk with Rob a little bit more and see if he's got some suggestions.
Well, let's see. Don't be controversial. More about popular culture,
right?
And don't swear so fucking much,
right?
Okay.
Exactly. So it's a little easier to kind of talk about, you know, The Walking Dead without saying fuck every other sentence. So,
but when the zombie's in your face,
I would totally say fuck.
Fuck. Yeah. I mean,
or as Karen at the Walking Dead cast, which is on a totally different podcasting network, would say, I would say fuckity fuck.
Yeah.
Anyway, one more TV plug, and then we'll move on. Transparent, also Amazon Prime, so good. Based on the writer's experience of having a transgendered parent, and Jeffrey Tambor is just amazing in this series.
Well, since you got to plug one more, I'm going to plug one more. The Jinx on HBO.
I need to watch that.
Especially if you're into serial killers.
Well, you know, and I watched Making a Murderer, which I thought was really good, so I totally need to watch The Jinx.
Very interesting. It was very interesting.
Yep. In fact, I might take my HBO subscription tonight and do that.
Yeah, because we're freaking 4 months away from Game of Thrones.
That'll be Nick's bag.
Yeah. By the way, how can it be winter is coming if it's going to be April?
You know, how can it be winter is coming if it is January in Alaska? And I drove out, I'm totally ranting, past the Joe Reddington Memorial Iditarod Trail. So for people who don't know...
You guys aren't going to have an Iditarod this year, are you?
No, we're not. So for people who don't know what the Iditarod is, it's a giant dog sled race that was started back... I want to say the first one was run in the late 60s, but Joe Reddington was instrumental in making this race, and it really honors the serum run, the 1925 serum run of diphtheria serum from Seward to Nome, and the diphtheria serum saved a number of lives, so it's a race commemorating that. Anyway, when Joe Reddington passed away, this trail got named after him, and I can honestly remember about 10 years ago, maybe 12 years ago, going to an Iditarod restart and watching mushers go by on that part of the original trail.
Yeah.
And I drove out there the other day. It is dirt and ice. That is all it is.
El Niño.
And, you know, I mean, we're talking, you've got to have a really good snowpack to be able to run a dog sled safely, and it's just not there. So
not there, but meanwhile, hey, in Southern California, we got snow on the mountains, so...
Well, you know, my buddy...
We're dying down here.
And my buddy in Iowa, who's part of the Biters podcast, they've got snow. They've got more snow than we do. So if you want snow, don't come to Alaska.
Right. Also, 2015, since we're commemorating 2015, hottest year on record.
Yes.
Outstanding accomplishment, guys.
Yeah, nicely done.
Everybody give themselves a round of applause.
Yeah. You okay? You gonna stay with me there, man?
I'm with you. All right, so what did we do our first podcast on?
So our first podcast was called Go Big or Go Home, and it was about the measles outbreak in Disney and vaccine deniers in general.
So, hey, my own personal update. I got my flu shot this year.
Woohoo! Yep. Good. I get mine every year, but it's because I work in healthcare and I deal with vulnerable people who could easily get the flu from me and die. So,
I encourage everybody, make sure your vaccinations are up to date.
And since I've got a captive audience and can hold forth, so for people who are in, we're going to assume you are in the 20 to 60 age range. Let's just be fair there.
That should cover our 12 listeners.
There you go. So our young adults, our people 26 and under, need to think about getting HPV vaccine, the human papillomavirus vaccine, protects you against the most commonly transmitted, sexually transmitted infection that is responsible for cervical cancer, anal cancer, genital warts. It is a bad thing. So if you can be vaccinated against that, it is a good thing.
So would that apply? Does that apply to lesbians?
Well, potentially, because, you know, you never know. She might sleep with a bisexual woman who's been exposed. Or she might sleep with a woman who's been exposed by her other female partner. So, absolutely, it applies to both men and women, regardless of who they're having sex with.
Perfect.
The other shot that people need to think about is the Tdap, the tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis immunization, which is the pertussis is whooping cough. I'm assuming we all know what tetanus and diphtheria are because we've all had those shots at one point or another. They reformulated it to contain pertussis vaccine because so many kids are getting whooping cough because people are being selfish and not immunizing. You should get one of those every 5 to 10 years, depending on your vaccine status and your needs. If you are medically fragile, like if you're someone who has diabetes, heart disease, some sort of chronic illness, you should get a pneumonia shot. And then at the age of 65, you should have a booster of that pneumonia shot. And if you are between the ages of 50 and 55, which is typically when your insurance is going to start paying for it, a shingles vaccine. If you've had chickenpox, you should get the shingles vaccine.
And I had a question today on shingles.
Oh, go for it.
So is it true that the worse the case of chickenpox, then the worse the case of shingles will be?
I honestly don't have a good answer for that. But one of the things I will tell you is that I will periodically get an adult who was born before the advent of the chickenpox vaccine. Because, you know, young kids are getting chickenpox vaccines and not getting the disease for the most part. And I'll
have...
Ain't modern science great. What was that?
Ain't modern science great.
Yeah, no kidding. So I'll occasionally get an adult who will tell me that they didn't have the chickenpox, and the evidence actually shows that 90% of adults who say they never had the chickenpox actually had a subclinical case and still have the potential to get shingles. So even if you think you didn't get chickenpox, you should probably still get a shingles vaccine.
You just had a non-symptomatic.
Yeah, you just had a really, really mild case that nobody remembers as chickenpox.
Right.
So, and one more plug, you should have your pneumonia shot at the age of 65 if you did not get one earlier. So if you got one earlier, you get boosted at 65. If you didn't get one earlier because you were in good health, you get your first and only pneumonia shot at the age of 65.
Excellent.
So I have a little bit of an update about the HPV vaccine. So it used to only cover 4 high-risk strains of HPV.
Yeah.
They recently came out with a vaccine called Gardasil 9, which actually covers against 7 strains that are high risk for cervical, vulvar, and anal cancer, and 2 strains that are high risk for genital warts. So it actually has become an even better vaccine in terms of coverage of high-risk HPV.
Outstanding.
Yeah. So, you know, you and I are both pretty smack dab on the side of science. Thank you, Neil deGrasse Tyson and Bill Nye. And I strongly recommend that people vaccinate.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you don't, stay the fuck out of Disneyland.
Right. And keep your kid home if your kid is sick, please. Because, you know, I really don't want to see diseases that I've never seen before because you decided not to vaccinate your kids.
Oh, and again, you know, looking back at 2015, I want to say thanks to American Horror Story for the little anti-vax rant.
No way, tell me.
Oh, yeah. Kid with Measles, it was awesome.
Oh, I missed it.
Ah, you got to watch it. You got to watch American Horror Story.
Yeah, and I haven't, so share the anti-vax rant.
Oh, just that, okay.
We're doing a retrospective, man. This is our time.
No, but it was just basically, it was a subplot. One of the main characters is a doctor. One of her patients is a young boy who's got a terminal case of measles because mom was too fucking stupid to get him vaccinated.
Okay.
So then they turn him into a vampire. But anyway.
Oh, okay. So getting the measles turns you into a vampire.
No.
Oh, okay.
Saving you from the measles takes being turned into a vampire.
So, you know, if that's the cure, maybe measles aren't all that bad after all.
Yeah, except for the fact that a bigger vampire ripped his throat out later in the show, so...
Okay, so actually they sent a pro-vaccination message with their episode.
Mm-hmm.
Good for them.
Yeah, it was a rant on the anti-vax movement. I may have not quite said it correctly, but it was a rant against the anti-vaxxers.
All right, well, thank you, American Horror Story. So do you want to move on to episode?
This episode brought to you by FX.
Right, and Pfizer.
Yep.
Because we're making the big bucks now.
That's right. Wonder if we could hit Pfizer up.
We could send them a copy of Go Big or Go Home.
Yeah, we'd be more than willing to do a... We would do a vaccination thing, and we'd be more than willing to do an ED commercial.
I was going to say, I'm actually fairly sure that they do Viagra. I could talk about Viagra.
Absolutely. We need sponsors.
Okay, and you know, on that note, I think segueing into episode 2 is perfect, because episode 2 is about the war on women, and we called it Legitimate What? In reference to Todd Akin's legitimate rape comment. So how are we doing in the war on women? Are we still at war?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of think so too.
You're not barefoot and pregnant. So yeah, there's still a war on.
So I actually picked up one thing off the news that I just wanted to bring up as evidence of the ongoing war on women.
Yeah.
Although I kind of have a Planned Parenthood rant too. But I'll start with this one. So this guy is Josh Moore. He is a Republican in the New Hampshire State Senate. And he sent out a Facebook message that said, "Who doesn't support a mother's right to feed?" He's talking about breastfeeding. "Don't give them liberal talking points, Amanda," he's responding to another senator. "If it's a woman's natural inclination to pull out her nipple in public and you support that, then you should have no problem with a man's inclination to stare at it and grab it. After all, it's all relative and natural, right?" So this is an elected representative advocating grabbing bare nipples because a mother has chosen to breastfeed.
They're not bare. They have a kid on them.
Well, he's going to pop that kid right off, man.
Sir, you have impulse control issues, and as such, I would recommend that maybe you should be castrated. Just saying. And obviously, perhaps, we're headed for a problem.
And at very least, not be in office, right?
Oh my God, asshole. State guy, but he's a state guy, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think this may be his swan song. I certainly hope it's his swan song.
Yeah, well, I mean, okay, hey, look, you know, let's just, real quick, Republicans, war on women, it's actually a whole thing in Wikipedia.
That somehow does not surprise me, because it really has reached and is maintained at that level.
So in 2011, state legislatures across the United States introduced over 1,100 provisions related to women's health and reproductive rights. First quarter of 2012, an additional 944 provisions were introduced in the state legislatures, half of which would restrict abortion. Duh.
And I would like to point out, and we discussed this in one of our episodes, there is not a single comparable men's health issue that faces those kinds of legal barriers.
Right, and, you know. So let's see, what else we got? Abortion restrictions, mandatory ultrasounds, more abortion limitations, defining the beginning of human parenthood, targeting regulation of abortion providers, birth control, other, defunding Planned Parenthood, which is, you know, the 2015 edition.
So I never thought I would defend Megyn Kelly, but also I just have to say Trump's blatant racism on the campaign trail when dealing with the reporter Megyn Kelly. I loosely use the term reporter. And Carly Fiorina.
Commentator.
And Carly Fiorina, who neither of us is particularly a fan of. He certainly has been blatantly sexist with her as well. So, and yet he still seems to be skyrocketing the polls. So that tells me that there's an awful lot of disrespect for women still out there.
Yeah, it's clear, right? Because we wouldn't be having these conversations if...
Right.
You know, you wouldn't be talking about how disgusting it is that Hillary went to the bathroom.
Thank you. I'm so glad you brought that up, because just hearing him over and over again saying, "It's disgusting, it's disgusting," It's like, no, you're disgusting. You're the one who's obsessing about it. And by the way, we all pee.
Yeah, and, you know, with that level of obsession, let me suggest several German porn sites. Jesus.
That might actually be the one thing that could bring him tumbling down.
Oh, he's nothing's gonna look. This guy could be caught fucking a goat on the Capitol steps, and it's not gonna lower his popularity. But his popularity is not across the spectrum. You know, having 100% of pissed off angry males isn't gonna do it. White males isn't gonna get you there.
Well, we definitely have more to talk about when we get to our all Trump episode.
Yep. But anyway, so
the war on women continues to rage.
Yes.
Just a perfect example today. So I had a new patient, not obviously going to disclose who this person was or any obvious details about this person, but I was completely blindsided by his amazing degree of sexism. He informed me that his blood pressure was elevated because my medical assistant is young and has beautiful bosoms. He talked to me at one point about his plan to take a mistress. Yeah, it was a great visit. I did a lot of healthcare in that visit, not.
What the fuck? Why?
So, you know, just that someone would feel that entitled and that privileged to talk to a professional woman about women in such a demeaning way was pretty stunning.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, oh my God, I have an erection because your assistant is hot.
Right.
What?
Pretty much. And I basically laughed at my male colleague and said, guess who you're getting as a patient?
There you go.
So...
What an asshole.
Yeah, but I mean, just that sense of entitlement of talking about professional women in that way, and talking to a professional woman in that way was pretty stunning. So, yeah, that's my little contribution to the war on women.
Yep.
But it doesn't exist, according to Donald Trump and the Republican Party.
Well, no, but...
By the way, can I just tell you that they chose their token mouthpiece, the governor of, is it South Carolina, to give the response to the State of the Union tonight?
I don't know who that is.
Nikki Haley. So she is Indian, as in Hindu, American. Her parents are immigrants from India.
Yeah, sure,
and she's not related in any way, shape, or form to Bobby Jindal, right. Except, you know, probably similar story in terms of immigrating here.
Right. Yeah,
And I was basically like, wow, I just don't understand how someone with a vagina can defend the Republican Party. But
there's a lot of people who defend the Republican Party. And the thing is that maybe someday they'll get their party back.
You know, and I think that's a really good point, because I actually do know and love me some Republicans, even though I talk trash. And I actually think that there are some people who are level-headed, fiscal conservatives, social liberals, who really would like to have their party back again.
Yep.
You know?
Reagan would like to have his party back.
Yeah, I had to laugh, you know? I was looking at... I reposted it. You may or may not have seen it. A thing that Reagan said about gun control. And it was basically like, yeah, you know, I support people's right to have a hunting rifle. I support people's right to have access to sporting guns. But an AK-47 is not a sporting gun. And I was like, ooh, look at what St. Reagan said.
Exactly.
So... Well, so continuing our little tour through last year's conversations, episode 3 was our conspiracy episode. So, got any new conspiracies to lay on me since Jade Helm didn't happen?
All right, for our eight listeners, Jade Helm was the so-called overthrow of the...
Of Texas.
Of Texas and Arizona. Because of some joint military exercise. No,
included and supported by Walmart. Don't forget that.
Yeah, which makes, you know, whatever. Nobody knows what that was about. But no, conspiracy. Let's. So, of course, we got we got the tinfoil brigade down there in Oregon right now.
Oh, right. Good point.
Who believe that the federal government unjustly imprisoned two farmers, ranchers for... setting fire to their property that then got out of control and burned up federal acreage and stuff. So somehow those guys going to jail is heavy-handed. The black helicopters and jackbooted thugs and everything. So, you know, they're holding themselves a rally down there by occupying federal buildings with high-powered rifles. And I would just like to say that, you know, A, go fuck yourself, and B, the FBI needs to go in and close this shit down, because if these guys were, I don't know, Islamic, we would have nuked the place by now.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've seen several posts and memes on Facebook, and I tend to agree. It's like, you know, if black people were occupying that land, it would have been shut down. You know, if Native American people were occupying land, trying to take back land that was actually theirs early on, we'd have Rosebud 1972. You know, we'd have the American Indian Movement 1972, and we'd have Leonard Peltier back in jail. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. But no, these guys are white entitled dudes. Not that white entitlement exists.
Yeah, I mean, so... You know, so, and I would just also like to say that the evidence is pretty overwhelming that the right-wing militias are generally funded by guys who have no income other than being on the dole. So, really would love to understand how that works.
Oh, speaking of right-wing militias, I heard this morning on, I think I was listening to a podcast of last night's episode of Rachel Maddow. So this is totally, this belongs down the road in the Trump portion of our episode, but I gotta get this out while I'm thinking about it. White supremacist organizations are taking their own money and robocalling voters in Iowa to get them out for Trump. So what does that tell you about that candidate?
Well, hey, I again, right? What does he got? Angry white dudes. Huh, the KKK.
I don't know. You know, I've listened to some of the interviews from the crowds that show up at his rallies. There are plenty of angry white ladies there, too.
I know, but I mean...
But yeah, it's pretty astonishing. I heard that and I was like, I can't believe that. I mean, we're talking about people who were part of the skinhead movement back in the 90s, who have just reinvented themselves and have a better name, you know? So... Well, my contribution to conspiracies was frivolous. I just basically wanted to bring up, because I didn't realize we would bring it up earlier, that there is going to be that whole 6-episode arc of The X-Files, and it's premiering on Sunday, the 26th of January, so if anybody is a diehard X-Files fan, that's when you can tune in for the first episode.
Also, for more conspiracies, check out our Ben Carson retrospective.
Ben Carson believes. Because we're going to get there tonight, too.
All right. And after talking about conspiracies...
So we went on...
Figuring out how to edit.
So we went on to... Actually, the episode that I would have to say is still one of my proudest episodes. I love this episode. And it was Tele Ute, Parts 1 and 2, which was our episode about death and dying.
Yeah.
And I just... I felt like that was such an important episode. I'm really proud that we did that together.
It's a good episode. I want to say nothing's changed. We're still dying.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Us bringing that subject up has not changed the outcome in any meaningful way.
Except it's made us talk about it more. I mean, I think yeah. I told you that it helped me talk to a patient and her daughter very frankly about it. So I, you know, it was good.
Absolutely, it was a good episode.
Yeah, and I have to say that. Part of my spiel has now become, hey, you know, this chronic pain that you're complaining about or this getting older thing that you're complaining about, not that I'm without compassion, but it's part of the human condition. It's part of the deal that you get when you take birth in a human body. So, you know, we'll do the best we can to make it good, but it's not always going to be good.
Because what do you get?
Oh, you get a lifetime, just like anybody gets.
Right.
I did put pictures of my new art up on the page, so I'll put her up when she's finished, too.
She is beautiful.
Thank you. So we're referencing my new tat, if you haven't seen the pictures that I selfishly put up on our Facebook page. And she's inspired by Neil Gaiman's death, and the quote is from Neil Gaiman, so... Of course.
Absolutely.
I did want to say something serious about death and dying.
Of course.
So, you guys in California, bless you. In October of last year, October of 2015, the right to die became law in California.
Yay!
Yeah! And so what that basically means is that a terminally ill person can advocate for him or herself with a physician to take his or her life in a compassionate and non-painful way. Usually we're talking about an overdose of medications. And
Which is the first step.
Well, and I looked up the way that it works. And so basically the person who is applying for it has to have two doctors verify that they have 6 months or less to live. They have to submit at least one written request and two oral requests for help in dying. And those requests all need to be at least 15 days apart. So we're looking at least a 45-day process. And they have to be ruled as mentally capable of making their own health decisions. So, but, you know, it's something that has finally come into place for people in California. It's been in place for a while in similar forms in Montana, Oregon, Vermont, and Washington. And I looked it up the other night, and it looks like it's currently in New Mexico courts being legislated as well.
All of which is good steps.
But yeah.
Once we do this, then we need to just talk about the fact that you have the right to check out when you decide to check out.
I struggle with that because I do think that people who have severe depression or who have a mental illness certainly should be at least offered help. I don't think you can force anybody to take an option, but I think they need to at least be shown what's through doors 1, 2, and 3.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. But there are lots of other reasons.
I can't stop somebody, you know?
Yeah. It's your life. You get one of them.
Yep.
We shouldn't spend as much time as we do legislating what you can and can't do with it.
Well, you know, and we shouldn't spend as much time as we spend so freaking miserable and not living the lives that we want.
Exactly.
You know? I mean, I would have to say this last year for me has been a big one about trying to pare down and find myself again and find what makes me happy again. Because I don't want to be that person who wastes that one lifetime.
Excellent.
So I would just really encourage people to go back and look at Teleute. It's available on our website. I did look on iTunes, and for some reason our iTunes feed is only carrying the most current 10 episodes. So if you want to hear anything older, you have to go to our website to do that.
So. And our website is thisconversationrocks.com. And look up upper right-hand corner, there's a link to all the podcasts.
There you go.
And you can listen to them right there. You can download them as MP3s, or you can listen to them right there.
And
we're also...
Oh, go ahead.
We're also on something else.
We're on Twitter.
We're on Twitter, but...
Are we on Stitcher?
Yeah, aren't we?
I don't know. I was going to ask you about that, actually, because there are an awful lot of people who use that. I know that a friend of mine who has an Android platform uses Podcast Republic and was able to download us and listen to us with that.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm not an Android user, so...
Yeah.
I'm the wrong person to ask. But a couple of friends of mine who don't have iPhones are listening to us, and they're listening to us on their phones. So... Yeah.
It's not nearly as hard these days.
Yeah. Let's see. Next episode was about female genital mutilation.
Another pleasant topic.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, we got to keep it real, right?
The good news is I think in 2015 there's been, again, more awareness of it. Not just, you know, for us and our 12 listeners. But
right.
You know, across the world, I think that it is getting more traction, which it should.
So, and as a result, obviously of our hard work on the podcast, no, not.
Yes, absolutely because of our hard work, yeah.
Nigeria outlawed female genital mutilation in May of last year. So that's an update because that is after we did that podcast. You know, obviously, you still need to change cultural norms. There are people who are going to do it in spite of it being illegal, but that's a big step for an African government to take to say that that's not an acceptable practice.
Absolutely.
Couple of other things. So UNICEF reports that because of activism such as the action that Nigeria's government took, activism on the part of NGOs and clinics and those kinds of things, that teen girls are one-third less likely to undergo female mutilation today than they were 30 years ago. So we are making progress. Sad thing is, the Guardian looked at an analysis of an analysis of Nigerian data, and they figure about one quarter of women in the adult Nigerian population have undergone FGM, female genital mutilation. So women are at lower risk. Governments are starting to recognize that they need to change cultural norms, and they're changing laws in an attempt to do that, but women are still at risk.
Right.
And men, too, because we talked about that. And, you know, I mean, there are definitely some people who are anti-male circumcision, and there are some people who look at that as a form of genital mutilation. So I think
it is, right?
Yeah, I mean, people need to evaluate their beliefs around that before they just willy-nilly do it.
But it's just such an... It's so funny, right? Because what it comes down to is it's definitely something that's well ingrained in our society.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And it's also looked at as pretty non-invasive. And certainly when you compare it to female genital mutilation, circumcision is definitely not all that invasive.
Sure. I mean, it's not taking away sexual function.
Right.
It's not an attempt to control male sexual desire. But there are people who argue that it does take away sensation and it makes sex less pleasurable for men. So, and I, you know, in our culture, it's like, okay, you have a baby boy and the pediatrician or the family doc who delivered your baby boy is all set up and ready to rock and roll with the circumcision. And most families just go, okay, go right ahead.
Right.
So I think that, you know, while it isn't as bad as FGM, it certainly needs to be looked at carefully. It's a decision that each family needs to make for themselves.
And you know, at the end of the day, though, if it serves no purpose, then seriously, why are we doing this, guys?
And you know, I think it depends on what sources you look at. There are, and we talked a little bit about this. There are groups that have evidence that shows that it can reduce the rates of HIV transmission in sub-Saharan Africa. But you and I aren't living in sub-Saharan Africa.
Right.
and there's some suggestion that it could potentially decrease urinary tract infections and that it could decrease other risks of sexually transmitted infections. So, I think you just really have to have a real conversation. I do think, though, that you're going to find most of the people in the medical establishment in the U.S. are still going to agitate on behalf of circumcision of boys.
Yeah.
I don't. I think it's a choice, but... You know, I'm definitely in the minority.
Can't get everything changed overnight.
But that's what we're going to do.
Working on it. We are working on it.
So episode 6 was the way back home in Indiana episode. I'm going to let you say it for me. What was it about?
Riffraff.
Yeah.
Riffraff. And fortunately, I think we talked about it on one of the podcasts recently, but you know, clearly 2015 is the year of the riffraff. The restoration, what is it?
A Restoration Act for Religious Freedom, RF, Religious Freedom Restoration
Freedom
Act.
Restoration Act. That's
yeah.
It. In other words,
we want to make
a solution to a problem that does not exist.
Right. We're going to make you adhere to our religious beliefs.
Right. And so, yeah, we're still worried about who's using our bathroom. You know, I got a friend of mine, and he has some transgendered friends, and you know, he knows them really well, and they've talked about a lot of stuff, right? And everybody just thinks that, you know, this was their opinion, is that almost everybody thinks apparently that transgendered people are just freaky and looking to get their freak on at any opportunity.
Right, that they're just totally cruising the bathroom for a sexual thrill, which is so not true.
Right, they're there to use the bathroom, just like the rest of us. And here's the thing, again, there are German websites, you know, if bathroom functions are what gets you going, we invite you to check that out.
But not on our computers, please.
But yeah, so obviously we had the problem in Houston. Indiana is gearing up again, right?
Yeah, so I've got an update about Indiana. Actually, what's happening is the original author was a guy named Young. He authored the fix, the quote-unquote fix, that made it acceptable to implement the RFRA in India. and or India, Indiana, and
restoring religious freedom to India.
Right, we got to get there first, right? So he authored the fix. He and two other Republican state senators have now filed an effort to repeal the Religious Freedom Restoration Act altogether. But here's the response from the LGBT community in Indiana. They basically feel like attempts to repeal the bill are actually a direct effort to derail their efforts to get other civil protections in place.
Sure, and they're probably right.
They're probably right. I mean, I certainly would not think, and again, I'm Republican bashing, but I would not think that three Republican state senators, one of whom authored the quote-unquote fix of the RFRA, has that they have any good intentions by filing for a repeal.
Oh, God, no.
So... No. And I mean,
no, they got some serious buyer's remorse is what they got.
Right. And I do think, and this goes back to Trump yet again, but I think with the rise of ultra-nationalism and extreme right-wingism that we're seeing with Donald Trump, I think that 2016 is going to be the year of the RFRA too. I think we're just going to find that people are using more and more of that kind of stuff to try to push their own religious values into place.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Interestingly enough, so before the Supreme Court ruling, same-sex marriage did become the law of the land in the state of Alaska, and there was a lawsuit that was filed before the Supreme Court ruling, which is now being allowed to proceed to overturn same-sex marriage in the state of Alaska, which I don't know how they're going to make that happen, because it's kind of like the jackass in Alabama.
Ain't going to happen.
Who thinks that somehow state law is going to trump federal law. But so we're actually letting people waste money on that kind of stuff.
Exactly. And again, I just want to point out that if gay marriage impacts you, it's because you're gay.
Right.
Otherwise, it has no impact on you whatsoever. You know,
and I just want to point out, in Alaska's case, our economy is in free fall because of gas and oil prices.
I bet.
We are hemorrhaging $400,000 a day in Alaska, but we're letting some jackass state legislator take to court a case which is already made a moot point by the Supreme Court ruling.
It's bread and circuses, though.
Yeah. You know, and it's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous.
Ah, almost as ridiculous as Diaz for dinosaur.
That's right. So, anything new on evolution?
Still works that way.
So, I did find a cool thing because I was looking just for anything that might be a related update. And this is really neat. This was actually found at the University of Chicago. So, they found a gene, a single genetic mutation that actually made an ancient protein evolve so that it could organize multicellular organisms. So they've been trying to figure out all along how we went from a single-celled organism, a really simple organism, to something as complex as a human being with millions and millions and millions of cells. And they actually found the protein switch, the protein mutation, that they think is responsible for allowing that to happen. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And that was just actually recently published. It was published on the 8th of this month. And it is attributed to a number of people. One of the authors is a guy named Joe Thornton, and he's a PhD and professor of human genetics and ecology and evolution at the University of Chicago. So he and his team may have found the secret to evolution, to how we got from one cell to being all of these complicated organ systems.
Outstanding.
Yeah. So.
Outstanding.
P is for protein. E is for enzyme. I mean, that's super cool.
It is super cool, right? It is totally cool.
You know, and just the fact that someone can find that kind of scientific information and make it coherent and make essentially a layperson like me understand it, because I don't understand evolution. I don't understand science, but it was a pretty clear explanation, you know, when I read it about what that protein did and how it changed.
Okay, you're losing me.
It just is really cool to me that someone could take a really complicated thing like that. The whole idea, the idea of us evolving from a single cell to multiple organ systems, which are made up of millions of cells, and that they could explain it in such a way that you and I can pretty much understand it.
Yep.
So okay. I just think it's amazing, and it's just another kudo to modern science.
Absolutely, absolutely, and of course, unfortunately, you wouldn't know about these, but there's a pair of dinosaurs out in Cabazon, right, that have been there since 1958, I think, right?
Located where?
Out in Cabazon.
I don't know where that is.
Yeah, no, if you're from LA, you know where it is.
Okay.
Headed out to the desert. But anyway, the Cabazon dinosaurs, they're a really famous roadside attraction, right? They've been there since the 70s. And unfortunately, back in the 90s, they were bought by a creationist museum group. So all I can say is that when you drive by, take some pictures. Don't go inside. Don't give these guys any of your money.
That sucks. That's kind of like the Taliban exploding all of those beautiful Buddhas in the Middle East.
Yeah, exactly. They were constructed by a guy named Claude Bell, who was a sculptor for Knott's Berry Farm, and he did it to attract customers to his Wheelin' restaurant out there in Cabazon. So and Cabazon used to be a hole in the road between LA and Palm Springs, but now it's got an outlet mall and a tribal casino. So it's
therefore it's got a lot of traffic.
Yep. Anyway, so yeah, D is for dinosaur, E is for evolution.
Yep.
C is for bullshit.
And then we move on to H is for haters. Oh my god, how funny! H is for haters. I like that.
And we've kind of covered a lot of what we've already said. We said in that, but I want to point out that this is the podcast in which you predicted
Bernie Sanders would run. Woohoo! Yep.
And you told me today that he is ahead in the polls, right?
So as of today, he is ahead in both Iowa and New Hampshire. Now, when I looked at the stuff to prep for this yesterday, he was ahead in New Hampshire. He was 45-46. Hillary Clinton, of course, is at 46. And it was 45-48 in Iowa. But the stuff that I looked at right before we came on said that he has actually surged ahead in Iowa. And it's really interesting, but the headlines are starting to... I don't want to say that the media is actually covering Bernie, but they're actually starting to say things like, Hillary Clinton campaign in a panic. Hillary wants to take Bernie on. So they're actually really starting to maybe give him a little more credibility than they did initially. It is interesting. The other thing is hypothetical matchups of Sanders versus the top Republican contendants shows that Bernie beats them every time. And I mean, this is hypothetical, but that's pretty cool.
Yeah, but again, hypothetical.
And we're still early in the race. I mean, we're still basically, 11 months away from voting, 10 months away from voting. So anything could happen. But he did also break the individual fundraising record that was previously held by the current president. So Bernie's got a lot of support, and it looks like it's growing every day. And you're the one who brought up the idea of Bernie Sanders Republicans being similar to Reagan Democrats, so I think there's a very real chance that could happen.
I hope so. So 538, which is the only polling site that I pay any attention to.
That's Nate Silver's site, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right now they're saying Iowa, Sanders, neck and neck.
Okay.
However, they have a second model which considers endorsements, which would actually blow him down to 27%.
Oh, interesting. Although he did get a huge endorsement from Move On today.
Yeah.
Although, my rant about Planned Parenthood is they endorsed Hillary Clinton.
Of course. Who else were they going to endorse?
Well, they've never endorsed anybody before. Never.
Right, but there's never been...
Well, you know, and I have to quote Susan Sarandon, I don't vote with my vagina.
I agree. I agree. You know, so we're gonna hate on Hillary here for a second,
right? Which is kind of funny because H for Haters was all about please don't hate on Hillary, and now I'm kind of in that place where I'm like hating on Hillary.
Problem is she's done nothing in this campaign. But you know, yeah, you can't expect Planned Parenthood. I would not expect Planned Parenthood to do anything other than that.
I think you're right, and you know, unfortunately, she really has been crowned by the National Democratic Party, and she's been crowned by the bulk of the media, so...
Yeah, well, New Hampshire, though, New Hampshire, Sanders, 73%.
Hey, wow.
45-38.
Those numbers are way bigger.
But in the second model, 47%, so...
But that's still pretty impressive.
Yeah, so we'll see how that works out. It's kind of funny, they're not being real exact yet, but they'll get more exact as we get closer.
Right. And poor Martin O'Malley is just getting ignored by everybody. Exactly. He still is in the Democratic race, believe it or not.
Yeah, well. Jeb Bush is still in the Republican race, too. But, right. You know.
Oh, my God. What did I hear? So they were looking at favorability polls. So not, you know, whether or not you would actually vote for them, but just whether or not you like the candidate, which I think is a ridiculous measure. But this was apparently done in Iowa a couple of days ago. And most of the Republican candidates fared pretty well. Jeb was in minus digits.
Well, because A, he's a Bush, and B, he's an idiot.
But, you know, a few months ago, there are people who would have put him at the top of the heap.
Yeah, they weren't anybody. They weren't anybody who has any business calling an election.
Right.
All right, so we hated on Hillary. And then we moved into H's for healthcare, right. And H's for more healthcare.
Yeah, we kind of did two episodes about healthcare, so I kind of, episodes 9 and 10, we can pretty much combine those, I think. Yeah. I do want to point out that the Republicans yet again voted to repeal the Affordable Care Act, and the latest bill to repeal the Affordable Care Act was vetoed by President Obama on Friday the 8th of January. So this is still a very real thing.
Sure, but the only thing that has been, the only thing in the history of the United States that was less effective than this nonsense about repealing the Affordable Health Care Act was waterboarding people in Guantanamo.
Right. Well, and then it was also noted in the same article, and I honestly can't tell you where I found it. I didn't write my source down, but Paul Ryan was on Face the Nation the same weekend, and he all but admitted to the host that the Republicans really don't have an alternative. They just want to get rid of the Affordable Care Act.
Right,
so.
they got nothing, yeah.
Right.
Because that was the thing they caught the congressman a couple months ago on Fox News Sunday tripped himself up, or when talking to Hannity, tripped himself up and had to finally come clean that the Benghazi hearings are all about just trying to keep negative Hillary stuff in the press.
Right. Which she's perfectly capable of doing that on her own. Thank you very much.
No kidding, but and I just want to say before people go out and see 13 Hours,
right?
I want you to consider that this is a movie by Michael Bay
of the Transformers fame. Let's just point that out to our handful of listeners.
Exactly. So I certainly don't have an opinion one way or the other as to what happened in Benghazi. I wasn't there. But I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Michael Bay isn't going to give you the truth.
I think that's probably a fair estimation. I think I can go with that. I don't need to spend my money like that. By the way, we went and saw The Force Awakens, which I really loved, even though there are a lot of people who say that it was reductionist and just basically movie number one repeated all over again.
Spoiler.
Yeah,
spoiler.
Sorry. Whoops! I'm not telling them anything other than that, but that's a fairly big spoiler.
It's a huge spoiler. What? Okay, so we're gonna cut and paste here. So Diana's about to spoil the entire Star Wars film for you in 3, 2, 1, stop listening.
For about 15 seconds, 20 seconds.
And now we're back. Okay. See, that's the beauty of podcasting. I will cut that. I will make that okay.
Anyway, what I wanted to point out about seeing The Force Awakens without any more spoilers is that our soda and popcorn cost more than our movie tickets did.
I bet you must not have seen the 3D IMAX version.
No, we did not, because my husband is a whiny bitch and said that he didn't want to watch anything in 3D.
The problem with 3D is that it's just gratuitous, in my opinion. But so here's an interesting article, though, on 538.
Wait a minute, where are we back on? We're back in healthcare again, right?
No. We are. We're still talking about the sport Force of the Weekends.
Oh, God, how funny.
Right?
And you're hearing my ridiculous Shiba Inu yell in the background. Sorry.
It's all right. So the Star Wars heroine is featured in fewer toys than all the new dudes.
Right. Doesn't surprise me a bit. In fact, there was a really great article that was posted by Kirk Manley, guy who did our art, on Facebook, where a girl actually wrote into one of the toy companies and castigated them for it.
Good, because
yeah.
Kylo Ren gets 38 toys.
Ugh.
Our favorite Disney princess.
That's right.
BB-8 gets 15 toys, which is just, to me, is kind of like, okay.
Well, how he's many, a pretty easy many, mark, right?
Right, but I mean, how many versions of BB-8 can there be, right? There's right. the small one, and then there's the actual one, right? Captain Phasma? I don't even know who that is.
That's the female stormtrooper who was kind of silvery.
Oh! Brienne of Tarth. Okay.
So apparently she's going to play a much bigger role in the next couple of movies.
Which is good, because she doesn't play much of a role in the next couple of years of Game of Thrones. Finn gets 12, Poe gets 11, yeah, because, you know, who doesn't believe that the next movie, Rogue Squadron, is going to be all about Poe?
Right.
Rey only gets 10, Han Solo got 1, General Hux gets 1, I don't even remember who that was.
I was going to say, who the hell is General Hux?
And Leia got 0.
Which wouldn't surprise
Carrie Fisher in the
slightest. That is lame.
Ugh. Okay, but anyway, I gotta tell you, you know.
Are we back on H's for healthcare?
I was just gonna.
Or was still on The Force Awakens?
The Force Awakens. I was just gonna say, I actually liked Rey's character.
I enjoyed the movie very much.
Yeah, and so I would just. She was great.
Yeah.
You know. But I'll keep my opinions about the movie itself.
Until, like, maybe next year when we can't spoil it anymore, right?
Right. Okay, so...
It'll be part of our 2017 retrospective.
There we go. So, yeah, let's move on. Let's move on to, let's see, episode 12.
So, I actually have a little bit of a rant about healthcare, so bear with me, and then we can move on. So this kind of goes with episode 10, the next episode. I just really want people as healthcare consumers to be aware of what is happening, because I'm getting really burnt out on corporate healthcare. So when you go and see your doctor or your provider, you need to ask yourself if they're really giving you their full time and their undivided attention, because what's really happening is there's tremendous pressure from the large corporations that have essentially snapped up all of the hospitals and most of the small family practice clinics you're going to for providers to see more and more and more patients during the day. And so what this means is that in order to meet their numbers, their quotas, providers are double and triple booking in an attempt to meet those numbers, which basically means that you're getting 1 to 2 people crammed into your appointment slot. Or you may be one of those people who's crammed into another person's appointment slot. And I just have to say, as a healthcare provider, I'm resentful, and I think it's really unfair to patients, and I think it's really unfair to the people who are trying to provide good care. So I really encourage people as patients to be engaged and to be really aware of what's happening with their healthcare. Because you're still getting the full bill. You may not be getting the full slot, but you're getting the full bill.
Yep.
So, and that'll probably get me in big, fat trouble, but I'm so frustrated by it that I'm just tired.
The good news is that our 18 listeners don't include any of your corporate overlords.
Yeah, probably not. They might include a couple of my corporate friends, but they don't include any of the overlords.
So
they include the stormtroopers, but not, you know, like the Imperial Guard or Vader himself or Kylo Ren. So
so here's the thing, right? We've just we're an hour in now.
Yeah, I'm thinking that maybe our next episode needs to pick up at, isn't it the Lost Bob episode? No, it's bullying in the workplace.
Workplace bullying. Yeah, so we got through 10.
Yeah.
Because we talked too much. But we got another 10 to get through.
We do. We have another 10 to get through.
All right. So we're gonna tune in. We're gonna tune in on Sunday, I think. And
okay.
Do the next episode. If you got time during the day on Sunday.
Yep, it'll have to be Sunday morning because I'm doing biters in the evening. But
all right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, I just want to say a couple of things. You know, we didn't really plan, and oh, by the way, we didn't really plan to fuck that guy. So I just got to tell you, my oh, by the way, is that I am still heartbroken about David Bowie's passing.
You know, I absolutely agree with you on that. And the thing that amazes me, though, is like the world is actually heartbroken by this, too. And
yeah.
I'm really impressed.
Yeah.
I'm really impressed.
I mean, in Wasilla, Alaska, most people are going about their day as if nothing's happened at all. But those of us who actually are paying attention.
The truth is, most of us are going about our day as if nothing happened at all because we got our day to get through.
Yeah. I don't know. I got to tell you, I feel some emptiness. It's really, really sad. And it's not like I knew him, and it's not like there was any kind of relationship, but it just felt like he was responsible for a lot of music that I discovered, and I felt like he was the soundtrack of my early years, you know? And losing him is really painful.
Right. And I agree. I'm fortunate I got to see him twice.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was in its own way. The problem with Bowie, and this is why he didn't want to do his old material, and I totally understood.
Right, no, he was constantly evolving.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so the thing was is that seeing Bowie and then, you know, doing his older stuff, like I saw him on the Sound and Vision tour.
Uh-huh.
Where he was trying to get past it and everything, it was just like, it was weird because it was like I was into it, but it was also like, you know, but this is old stuff, you know. And I always enjoyed the guy. I don't know what the fuck I'm saying.
It was really interesting, but I actually I listened to a rebroadcast of an interview from 2002 that Terry Gross did on Fresh Air.
Yeah.
And she talked to him, and she kept bringing up Ziggy Stardust and the Thin White Duke and all of those personas that Bowie adopted in his early years. And he kind of laughed and corrected her and said, you know, at that point, he'd had a 40-year-long music career. And he said, I've been making music for 40 years, and that was 18 months of my career.
Yeah,
So I just thought it was really interesting, and he was very polite about how he pointed it out. But, you know, I think people latch onto that because he was very exotic and he was doing and saying stuff that people weren't saying at that point in time. But the guy's right. It was 18 months of his career and he had so much to offer. And I watched an interview with Nile Rodgers today and he was talking about how Bowie was actually a huge jazz fan.
Yeah.
So it's just pretty cool. There's so much more to him than a lot of people realized, and so much more to his music and creation than a lot of people realized. So,
oh, absolutely. And the thing is that the rise and fall of Ziggy, you know, Suffragette City's on there.
I love his early music. I blogged about it last night, and I said, you know, it is still that music that speaks to me more than any of his music.
Yeah.
But I gotta tell you, I'm gonna spend some serious time with his new album because I've heard that it's really good.
Absolutely. And Aladdin Sane, you know, the big one
right,
there.
Right, right, right.
But the big one there is the Gene Genie, right?
Which is a great song.
It is, but these things are bigger. These things became bigger than Bowie.
Yeah, right? I think, you know? I think that's very true. I think that's a good way of looking at it.
I mean, Rise and Fall is a great album, but it's just something he did, and everything is just something he did.
I think the thing that was so impressive is that he was so intelligent, so well-spoken, and just constantly evolving.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, and the best part about Ziggy Stardust, Bauhaus.
Well, you know, I was actually thinking about them, and I thought, you know, I would not love Bauhaus the way I do if it had not been for David Bowie.
Right.
So he taught me a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm just laughing because Moon Age Daydream has become this big song again. because of the movie, the Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
Oh, right, right. Yeah, you gotta know Nick loved that soundtrack. It was right up his alley. Yeah. I do have a Neil Gaiman quote to take us out on.
Okay.
Of course. I thought this was actually really appropriate for the new year. I've been seeing a lot of his quotes getting posted on Facebook, sometimes attributed to him, sometimes not. But he wrote this in 2001. He said, "May your coming year be filled with magic and dreams and good madness. I hope you read some fine books and kiss someone who thinks you're wonderful. And don't forget to make some art. Write or draw or build or sing or live as only you can. And I hope somewhere in the next year you surprise yourself." So I hope that for you, I hope that for me, and I hope that for all of our listeners.
Absolutely. And tune back in next week for the second half of our retrospective.
That's right, because Todd is going to teach Diane to edit, and we're going to get our shit in a bag.
There you go.
All right, everybody, have a good night.